Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Introduction to KIX Dynamic Scripting in KIX Transaction Server version 4.1. Today's presenter is Jonathan Lawrence. Jonathan has worked on scripting in CICS since 2008, initially developing the CA1S KIX PHP support pack. He subsequently led development of the KIX Dynamic Scripting feature pack, delivering version 1.0 in June 2010. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Jonathan.
Thank you, Joseph. Welcome, everybody. This is an introduction to KIX Dynamic Scripting in KIX Transaction Server version 4.1. Please could you move to slide 2. The agenda for today is first of all to give you an overview of KIX Dynamic Scripting, which will include a demonstration if possible, a brief overview of the installation process for KIX Dynamic Scripting, some information on using the programming model, which will consist of an overview of the programming model, some information about configuring the KIX Dynamic Scripting installation, and interacting with KIX. There's one slide on some of the restrictions which apply to KIX Dynamic Scripting as compared with WebSphere Smash, and some hints and tips on avoiding potential pitfalls when using KIX Dynamic Scripting on the ZOS platform. Finally, I'll conclude with summary and questions. Could you move to the next slide, please, number 3. Overview. Slide number 4, please. Slide number 4 gives you a view of the intended target audience for KIX Dynamic Scripting. IBM already has in place a large number of well-established programming environments for creating large, complex, and highly available enterprise applications. These are, for example, environments such as J2EE and KIX, which support traditional business environments. The intended audience for KIX Dynamic Scripting is for medium-sized applications, for example, departmental applications, team or project applications, and personal applications, where time to value is more important than long-term enduring value or highly architected and robust infrastructures. So, for example, the bullet points on the right-hand side of this slide here give you some examples of what KIX Dynamic Scripting could typically be used for. Quickly creating new front ends and mashups to existing applications. Creating personal productivity applications to give a new view on existing data. And perhaps introducing new IT staff who may be unfamiliar with the KIX environment to KIX via the PHP programming language. Could we move on to slide 5, please? The key features of KIX Dynamic Scripting are essentially that it's based on the Zero programming model. This programming model was developed as an open development project called Project Zero, which is available, which you can go and browse on the internet at www.projectzero.org. This programming model has previously been released as IBM in the WebSphere Smash product. And KIX Dynamic Scripting takes that technology and embeds that programming model and that technology into KIX on ZOS. This allows you to script using Groovy or PHP and also possibly program in Java within the KIX environment, thereby reusing and programming to KIX assets. There's a very simple, agile programming model and programming environment for web application development. Kix Dynamic Scripting allows Kix assets to be exposed as RESTful web services in a very streamlined manner. It also allows you to build Web 2.0 Ajax presentation layers onto Kix assets, and there is very little tooling involved. The infrastructure is very lightweight, and everything is done just using files on a file system. Because the Xero programming environment is running within a JVM within Kix application server, it makes it easy and efficient to access COBOL assets. Furthermore, the fact that it's embedded within the Kix infrastructure allows it to inherit Kix and ZOS strengths, such as runtime quality of service, security, auditability, and monitoring, for example. If we could move on to the next slide, number 6, please.
Now, before going to the next chart, if you cannot join the e-meeting, you can still access the presentation by going to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Program on Twitter. The address, once again, is www.twitter.com/IBMWSTE. Thank you. I'll now turn the presentation back to Jonathan.
Thank you, Joseph. Slide 6 gives a very high-level architectural view of a WebSphere Smash or Project Xero application running outside of the Kix environment. This would be on a platform, for example, such as Linux or Windows. The platform provides a complete implementation of an application server, a web application server, including a web front end, a listener, which is called the channel framework in Project Xero technology, and the rest of the programming model implemented by WebSphere Smash. So, for example, when a Xero application is up and running, it is able to receive an HTTP request via the channel framework and pass that through the Smash programming model, the Project Xero programming model, to, for example, PHP or Groovy scripts, all of which are running on the Java platform, and return an HTTP response back to the web client or Ajax application, for example. If we now move on to the next slide, number 7, please. This illustrates how that architecture has been modified for implementation in Kix Transaction Server. The channel framework component, which was the web serving component of the original application, has been bypassed and replaced with elements of the Kix web support infrastructure. That's including a Kix TCP/IP service and a pipeline infrastructure, which is passed to using the URI map mechanism. So in this scenario, the HTTP request is received by Kix Web Support, a Kix TCP/IP service, and transmitted via a pipeline, bypassing the Project Xero channel framework, down to exactly the same Project Xero runtime environment and essentially the same scripts, again, running on top of a Java platform which is embedded within Kix Transaction Server. This allows close integration with existing Kix assets, such as COBOL programs, other Java classes, DB2, and Kix data via the JKix API, which is accessible to Xero applications from all the languages, all the scripting languages, in which Xero applications can be coded. If we could move on to the next slide, please. Number 8. So what do you get with Kix Dynamic Scripting? When you download the product, there's a zip file which is available for to be installed on the ZOS system, and more specifically in the ZFS, ZOS Unix Services Z file system environment, which is the Unix environment, which is part of ZOS. In addition, there's a repository of reusable modules hosted in a KIC-specific location on IBM.com. And these are predominantly the same reusable modules which form part of the WebSphere Smash product and are otherwise hosted on projectzero.org. Once the product has been installed, there is a command line interface, or CLI, which is available under ZOS Unix services, which includes a local repository of modules, some of which are installed from the zip file which was downloaded, and some of which are dynamically downloaded from the hosted repository, dynamically downloaded as required. In addition, a number of KIX resources are permanently installed in the user's KIX region. These are, for example, transaction and program definitions, which are required for the KIX dynamic scripting environment to work correctly. Additional KIX resources are dynamically created as the KIX dynamic scripting product is used when a CLI command is invoked, for example, or when a KIX dynamic scripting application is started. Could you move on to the next slide, please? Number 9. So, what is a KIX dynamic scripting application? This slide gives you a pictorial view of the structure of a KIX dynamic scripting application. If you look in the box on the left-hand side, you can see what looks like an expanded file hierarchy for a sample application. And you can see, without going into a lot of detail at this point, there are a number of subdirectories, each containing certain files. So essentially, the view is that a KIX dynamic scripting application simply consists of a set of files living in the Unix file system on ZOS. These files conform to a convention in terms of the subdirectories, and the way that these files are interpreted depends on their location within the file structure. So, for example, if you look on the left-hand side, you can see near the bottom there's a config subdirectory, which contains a 0.config file. This is used by KIX Dynamic Scripting to determine configuration aspects for the whole application. Near the top of the slide, on the left-hand side, is a subdirectory called public. And this is, by convention in KIX Dynamic Scripting, is where files which are intended to be served by the application are typically located. These, for example, can be fixed resources such as web pages, HTML pages. They can be scripts which can be accessible via HTTP from a web browser, for example. And the other, I'll just run through some. The app directory contains, again, within lower subdirectories, which are by convention determined, contain other resources which form part of the application. In order to develop a WebSphere, a KIX dynamic scripting application, any text editor can be used which is capable of editing those files which are living on the Unix file system. So, for example, Rational Developer for Z, Eclipse, Notepad, or Vi can all be used to edit and modify the files which form a KIX dynamic scripting application. The rest of this file foil gives, in a little bit more detail than I actually intend to go into, a description of the contents of the subdirectories which form part of the application. Could we go on to the next slide, please, which is number 10? So what do you need to do to work with a Kix Dynamics scripting application? Well, the administration of Kix Dynamics scripting is achieved using command line commands running under the ZOS Unix shell. So, assuming that you can see this file sufficiently clearly, this foil clearly, you'll see that, for example, to create a new application, a new Kix Dynamics scripting application, you can issue the command 0create and then the name of the application. In this case, 0create my new app. The Kix Dynamics scripting infrastructure then performs the work which is required in order to build the directory structure which represents that application in the file system. And when that's succeeded, a message is issued saying that the application has been successfully created. In order to work with that particular application, you then need to change directory down one level into the top-level application directory for that application. Then, additional commands become available which weren't available to you at the higher level. For example, 0start, status, and stop, which allow you to start the application, which is to bring it into activity, allowing it to serve web requests, to stop it, which will essentially take that application offline, and a number of other management commands. One example is 0help, which gives a list of commands which are applicable at that location. It's interesting to note that commands which are available depend on whether or not you're within an application, and indeed whether that application has itself implemented additional CLI commands. If it has, those additional commands, whether they apply to any applications or to that particular application, will be listed as a result of the 0help issued from the command line. Could we move on to slide 11, please? Thank you. This slide illustrates what I was just talking about, the CLI context. So what commands are available to you, or the 0 commands you can run, depend on the current working directory within ZOS Unix System Services. Some of those commands are built in and are always available. But many commands are defined by applications or by their dependencies, and I'll come on to talk about what we mean by application dependency a little bit later on. So they're only available from an application directory. In addition, applications may themselves define additional commands implemented by the application developer, which become available once the current directory is within the application. And the command 0help lists the available commands, and although you won't be able to read the contents of these two small windows, you can see that once you're inside an application directory, many more commands become available to you on the command line than are available within a raw Kix Dynamics scripting CLI environment. So if we could move on to slide number 12, please. Slide number 12 gives a high-level overview of what happens within Kix Transaction Server in response to the 0start command. When an application is not running, all it consists of is a set of files sitting on the ZOS Unix file system, as I've already described. However, if you change directory into the directory which represents that application and you issue a 0start, several things happen. Initially, as for any 0 command which you run from ZOS Unix, via an EXCI connection and a program running in Kix Transaction Server, which is not shown, a JVM server is brought into life in order to handle the CLI task which you are invoking, which in this case is start, that this particular aspect will apply to any zero command. So that JVM server is running some of the Project Zero code in order to handle the start task for that application. What this does is that it dynamically creates a number of KIX resources. So, for example, the KIX web support resources, which are required to be able to receive the HTTP requests, that would be a TCP/IP service, URI map, pipeline, and so on. And in addition, a JVM server within which the KIX dynamic scripting code, which is actually running the application, is going to be running. So once the zero start command has finished, the JVM server, which is running the start, actually is torn down, but the remaining infrastructure, which is shown at the bottom of the picture there, consisting of the KIX web support resources and the JVM server, remain active for the lifetime of the running of that application. Because that's all running within KIX Transaction Server, it's able to interact with KIX assets and with the Z file system, the Unix file system. It's able to receive HTTP requests from a browser and return those responses to the browser in the way that I described on an earlier slide when I was talking about the KIX dynamic scripting architecture. Now, the interesting thing to note is that when you then issue a zero stop for the same application from the Unix System Services command line, another JVM is brought into existence within the server to handle the CLI task stop command, and that has the effect of tearing down, first of all, disabling and then discarding those resources which represent the running application, so that HTTP requests can no longer be received, and the resources which have been dynamically created are then removed from the KIX system. So, if we could go on to the next slide, please, number 13. At this point, I intend to give a demonstration of some of the points that I've been illustrating. I'll just describe what the demo will consist of, and then I will attempt to be given control in order to illustrate these points. First of all, I'm going to create an application, as described on the previous coil, run the zero help command inside and outside the application directory, start the application, access it from a web browser, add a script to the application, and then access that script. So, initially, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you here. I'll minimize some of these other windows so there's less distraction around. Okay. What you should be able to see here is a PuTTY session which is logged in to ZOS Unix running on ZOS. And at the bottom, you'll see that I've already typed in the command zero create WSTE demo. What this is going to do is when I press enter, which I'm just about to do, this will cause a JVM to be created within the KIX transaction server system that I'm connected to, and it's going to create a new application. So you can see there that that's completed successfully. And now if I do a list, you'll see I've got two subdirectories there, one which previously existed and one which has just been created, which is the WSTE demo application. Now, I can show you the files which comprise that application in Eclipse. Here I'm using an Eclipse, which is using Remote System Explorer in order to connect to the ZOS Unix environment to be able to show the files which form the application. And I've just refreshed that, and the files which have just been created now appear in my Remote System Explorer session on the left-hand side. And you can see here that I've got the main ones that we're going to be concerned with are the config subdirectory, the public subdirectory, and parts of the app subdirectory. And you can see here that the app subdirectory itself contains the subdirectories, some of which I described on an earlier part of the presentation. Now, if I switch back to the Unix environment, what I'll do now is I'll just issue a zero help command to show the CLI commands which are available outside of an application. And here you can see a list of them. So, for example, create, help itself, resolve, switch, update, and so on. If I now switch into the application itself, I'm just using a file. I'll type it out in full to be clearer. There we are. I've now changed directory into the application itself. If I issue the zero help from here, it takes a few minutes because it's having to initialize. Right, there we go. You'll see that what we've got are a lot more. We've got all the commands which were available before. We also have a number of additional commands which only apply within an application environment, such as start, stop, and status, which would have no meaning unless they apply to a particular application. In order to be able to start this application itself, I have to make one very small configuration change in zero.config. Because when an application is first created, it assumes a default port that it's going to be listening on once it's started. And that port is 8080. That's not acceptable on a shared system, so I'm going to change it to a port which I know to be unused. So I will then, which in this case is 65432, I'm going to save that file. So now I've configured the application to listen on a particular HTTP port. Now, by switching back to my Unix environment and using the command zero start, I can bring that application into life. This is going through the process that I described where a JVM server has been created which is running the zero start command. That's installing new resources in Gix. And in fact, what I can do, I can show you some of those. If I've just switched to a CEMT session running within Gix transaction server. And if I refresh that, you can see that here, for example, is a JVM server which has just been created. You can see the install time here, 1636. That's obviously UK time. And I can also show you the TCP/IP service associated with the running application, WSTE demo. And you'll notice that that is listing on port 65432, which was the port number which I configured it to be using. I'll just go back to the JVM server view there. Right. What we can do now is using a browser, this is at the moment you'll see an unable to connect. This is the page that we saw prior to starting that application, because obviously there was nothing listening on that board prior to this point. But now that we've started the application, it should be possible to refresh that page, connecting to the application, and it's now showing you the welcome, the Kix Dynamic Scripting welcome page, the default welcome page, which you see for a newly created application. So you see what we have is, in just a few commands, we have a Kix Dynamic Scripting application up and running. It can't do very much at the moment because we haven't actually put any function into the application. So that's the next step. But we have an application template which is actually running in Kix Transaction Server, ready to populate with more function. The next thing to do is to start to create some content for our application. So to do this, what we'll do is we'll create a script in the public directory. So in public, at the moment, there's no content in the public directory there of our application. If I create a new script, which I'll call hello.groovy, a new file name, and so I've created that. Currently empty, so I need to put some Groovy in there, and the Groovy that I'm going to use is, I've got it in a crib sheet here. Well, I could just probably as equally as well type it in. So into hello.groovy, I'm going to have the single instruction print run hello world. So if I now save that, that file now exists on ZOS Unix services within my application. And what I can do now is simply invoke that via the URL by adding hello.groovy to the application. There we are. And there we see the hello world. Interestingly, if I type something else like hello2.groovy, you'll see that the Kix Dynamic Scripting infrastructure will automatically produce a default error page telling me that script has not been found. But I'll just go back and illustrate now how agile and dynamic a development environment this is. Because all I have to do to change my application is change the script, save it, reload the page, and you see the changed output in the browser. So this means that the application development process can be very rapid, dynamic, agile development. You make a change to your scripts, you reload the application, and your changes are immediately visible to you. This creates a very dynamic, productive environment for creating these situational applications which you need to do particular tasks. So that's a brief overview of how you get started with a Kix Dynamic Scripting environment. Okay. Slide 14. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this process. This is really just a very high-level overview to give you a view of the steps which were involved in order to install Kix Dynamic Scripting in a ZOS Unix and the Kix environment. So could we move to slide 15, please? First of all, it's important to make sure that all the relevant prerequisites for Kix Dynamic Scripting feature pack have been correctly installed on your system. These are ZOS version 1 release 9 or higher, KixTS for ZOS version 4.1 with the following APARs. Well, I won't read them all out, but those APARs need to be applied to your Kix transaction server system. Java 6, SR service release 8 or above, and if you are intending to use DB2 from your Kix, from your dynamic scripting applications, then you'll need DB2 version 9.1 with the appropriate APARs applied. And there are additional notes on the installation. Full details of the installation process are given in the Kix Transaction Server Info Center, which has a new section specifically devoted to the Kix Dynamic Scripting Feature Pack. Please could you move to the next slide, number 16, please. So what are the steps involved in installing Kix Dynamic Scripting? First of all, you download the feature pack, and here is the URL from which it can be downloaded. It is supplied as a zip file, which you transfer to a suitable ZOS Unix file system directory and unzip. Note that zip and jar formats are the same, so you can use the Java jar utility in order to unzip the downloaded feature pack package. This creates two directories, zero and Kix. The zero directory contains the zero scripts, which you invoke, for example, when you type zero on the command line. It's a script which initially has control. An initial zero repository containing the Kix modules and some bootstrap classes and the native code which is required for the zero environment, zero Kix. The Kix directory contains the sample definitions for the fixed Kix resources which are required by Kix Dynamic Scripting, and also an XMIT output file which contains the native Kix programs which are required for the environment. You need to define some required environment variables in your ZOS Unix environment, and these are illustrated here. Zero home, which you must need to set to point to the zero directory which you've created. Your path needs to contain that directory, and you need to have an environment variable stepdir which points to the Kix transaction server libraries which are required for an EXCI environment, because communication between ZOS Unix and Kix Transaction Server is achieved via the EXCI external Kix interface mechanism. The native Kix modules, which are required by to actually run within Kix, need to be loaded into the DFHRPL concatenation. And in order to do that, the XMIT contents need to be copied to a new ZOS dataset and received into a library, which is then added to the RPL concatenation for Kix Transaction Server. Could you move on to slide 17, please? You may need to create a new Unix group for the feature pack, because the CLI user ID and the Kix region user ID need to share a common group in order that the permissions can be set appropriately on the platform. So we do supply an install script which, once you have a suitable group, which the Kix region user ID and all the CLI users are a member of, the install script will set the permissions for the files in ZOS Unix appropriately. You also need to create a directory in which to contain your Kix Dynamic Scripting applications and set the required permissions. All of this is described in more detail in the Kix Info Center section for Kix Dynamic Scripting. Please could you move to the next slide, number 18, please. So Kix needs to be configured to use language environment. I'm not going to dwell on this. It's fairly self-explanatory, and as I've mentioned, it's already documented in the Info Center. It is important to note, however, that as well as the configuration steps, which are mentioned here, there are a number of KIX resource definitions, which need to be installed in the CSD, created and then installed from the CSD. So that describes this. If you could move on to slide 90. Using KIX dynamic scripting basic concepts. Right. I'm in danger of overrunning slightly here, so I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. The basic concepts are that we have the zero programming model has been brought into the KIX environment, and some of the main aspects of the zero programming model are that it's an event-based programming environment. Events are fired and handled by components in your application, such as scripts. The zero programming model provides a global context, which is a hierarchical map name value pair mapping, a bit like a file system, which enables you to store and retrieve data, some of which is pre-populated for you by the environment. PHP support is, I'm going to come on to PHP support. Basically, all of these points are mentioned in a little bit more detail on the later slides. I'm going to talk a little bit about zero modules, about what it means to resolve applications, virtual directories, and REST support. Two configuration files, 0.config and 0kix.config. And finally, interacting with KIX. Could you move on to slide number 21, please? So, an event-based programming environment. All the behavior of the system is modeled as a set of events, and you build applications by handling these events and providing the desired behavior in the form of scripts which handle those events. For example, the events shown on this slide get fired in sequence when an HTTP request is received. Request begin, then one of get, post, put, or delete, depending on the nature of the HTTP request, log, and finally request end. The programming model itself is single-threaded. These events are fired sequentially on the same thread, which means that they're really like simple API invocations. It's not an asynchronous programming environment in the sense that one might think of an event handling environment might typically be. Event handlers can either be registered explicitly, or by default, the environment will automatically invoke certain scripts which are located in certain conventional locations within your application infrastructure. And, for example, in the public directory, if you have a script in your public directory, it will be invoked for a get command, for example, and the result of that script will then be returned back to the browser. Could you move on to the next slide, number 22, please? The global context provides a map of data, which is language agnostic in the sense that there is a language binding available for all the supported programming languages for KIX dynamic scripting, which are PHP, Groovy, and Java. It's used for passing data between events. It can be data can be put into the global context from scripts and read from it by other scripts for storing application state. Some information in the global context is automatically populated by the programming environment. For example, when an HTTP request is received, information about that request, the URL, any information which was received on that HTTP request is pre-populated into the global context and is then available to the scripts which were invoked in response to that request. There are a number of different zones within the global context which have different lifetimes and visibility. So, for example, the request zone lasts only for the duration of a particular HTTP request. The user zone survives for the duration of a user session or requests for a particular user. So within a user session, this part of the global context can be reused and data can be passed from one request to another for the same user session within this section of the global context. And storage is a globally accessible area of the global context, which is persistent. The programming language bindings, which are used within scripts to access the global context, are, amongst others, zget to read and zput to write. There are other commands, and these are documented as part of the Project Zero documentation rather than the KIX dynamic scripting specific documentation. So, if we could move on to the next slide, number 23, please. PHP support in KIX Dynamic Scripting consists of an IBM-specific PHP engine, which was developed specifically for, initially for Project Zero, and now reused in KIX Dynamic Scripting. It's written in Java and compiles the PHP into Java bytecode to run on the JVM. This makes it extremely efficient and allows tight coupling between the PHP environment and the JVM, which also allows, when that JVM is running within KIX, very tight coupling between the scripts which are running, a PHP script running in KIX Dynamic Scripting, and the JKIX API, which can be used to access KIX programs and KIX assets, such as data in temporary storage queues, files, and so on. There are some limitations in that it doesn't support all the PHP functions and extensions which are available for the original PHP engine, but it's sufficiently comprehensive to be able to run many popular apps, for example, PHPB, WordPress, SugarCRM, and so on. These limitations are documented on projectzero.org. The PHP Java bridge allows PHP code to call Java APIs directly, and there's a small example here of what you have to do to achieve that. A Java import invocation brings a particular Java class into scope within your PHP script as though it was a PHP class. You can then interact with that Java class as though it was a PHP class, for example, by instantiating a new instance of that Java class as though it was a PHP instance. Invoke methods on instances of those classes as though they were PHP classes, and dump out the contents for that. There's a lot more information on using the PHP Java bridge, again, in the projectzero.org documentation. Could we move on to the next slide, number 24, please? So, within this talks about zero modules. Within the KIX Dynamic Scripting environment, it provides a modular environment in which all applications are modules, and they can in turn depend on other modules which are declared in the config iv.xml file, in the way shown on this file. In this way, modules, and by that I mean applications, can inherit all the assets, scripts, static files, and Java classes from their dependencies. Within KIX Dynamic Scripting, all applications have an inbuilt dependency on ZeroKIX Core, which provides the core integration functionality. This, in turn, depends on the project 0.0.core and pulls in the standard functionality from that. So here we say modules are not just the user apps. All the core functionality of Zero and KIX Dynamic Scripting is itself implemented as a set of modules, which are typically downloaded from the online repository. Could we move on to slide 25, please? So in order to be able to run an application, it must first be resolved. This consists of downloading and installing in the local repository all the modules which are depended on either directly or indirectly by a particular application. They all have to be resident in the file system before the application can actually run. There are two specific commands available which can actually cause this to occur within GitHub experiment scripting. These are zero resolve and zero update. If the required modules are already resident in the local repository, then these commands need to perform no download actions. They simply essentially mark the application as having been successfully resolved. And any references to dependencies are stored in the application. However, if the required modules are not currently available locally, they're downloaded from configured remote repositories. Please could we move on to slide 26. So where do these look for the modules? First of all, in the application's workspace, and by this we also mean other modules on the same level within the ZOS Unix file space, referred to as BIRS. After that, the local repository is searched. This is the global for a particular command line installation in the location shown here. Finally, if the module is not found in either of those locations, the configured remote repositories are searched. If it's not found in any of those locations, then the resolve or update command will fail. More information on the way that this works is given in the projectzero.org documentation. Could you move on to slide 27, please? I've already mentioned this, essentially, that once the application has been resolved, the dependencies are stored within the application. And this is used when the application is started in order to make sure that all the required dependencies are correctly on the class path of the running application. Could you move on to slide 28, please? So this talks about virtual directories. So once an application has been resolved, logically it consists not only of the files which are actually part of its directory structure on ZFS, but all the corresponding files from all the corresponding directories of the chain of resolved dependencies on which that module depends and which have been loaded. So in this way, a very small application can actually pull in a lot of function from its dependencies. And this is one of the sources of the power of Qix Dynamic Scripting, that a huge amount of function and functionality can be constructed very quickly from the many modules which are available as part of the Qix Dynamic Scripting repository, which itself is based on the Project Zero repository. And this here gives you an example of that. If there's time, I'll come on and give you provide a demonstration of the virtual directory browser tool, which shows this in action. To move on to slide 29, please. One of the core concepts of Qix Dynamic Scripting is REST, standing for Representational State Transfer, which is the architectural model on which the World Wide Web is based. The principles are that it's very gives you a resource-centered approach, allowing list, create, read, update, and delete commands against resources to be created using HTTP, the corresponding HTTP requests, which are get, post, put, and delete. Content type negotiation allows you to retrieve alternative representations from the same URI. This is particularly valuable because RESTful services are easy to access from code running in web browsers. This is essentially JavaScript or widgets such as Dojo controls, which can themselves issue REST requests to services which are running within an application. So this allows, makes it very easy to create services and thereby to build AJAX applications. More information on the concept underlying REST are given in the at this link, which is to the dissertation in which REST was first described. Could you move on to slide 30, please? So in terms of Project Zero, the event handlers underneath the app resources directory is a default location for resource handlers. There's a convention for interacting with resources, which consists of the URL for the application, followed by resources, and then the collection name, followed by member ID, if applicable, followed by additional path information. Together, the URI and the HTTP method, which are get, put, post, and delete, determine the method which is going to be invoked within that resource handler script. So, for example, a GET request to the location resources/people will attempt to invoke a script called people.php or .groovy within the resources subdirectory, and within that, it will attempt to invoke the resource handler function on list. And so on. Because I'm running a little bit short of time, I'm going to have to move on to the next slide without describing this in any further detail. Could we move on to slide number 31, please? Okay. At this point, I would like to switch back to complete my demonstration. Okay. So, following on from my previous demonstration, I'm now going to illustrate some of the features which I very briefly described in the preceding slides. So, first of all, in Eclipse, I'm going to edit my iv.xml file for my application. And in this file, you can see some dependencies which have been declared for the application. I'm going to add two new dependencies which will pull new function into my application. And these dependencies are going to be to zerokicks.php and zerocorewebtools. These dependencies add PHP functionality and function from the Web Tools Project Zero module to my application. So if I now save that configuration file, replacing the existing file, move back to my script. Now, because I've added new dependencies, those dependencies aren't currently resolved in the application. So in order for those to actually become available within the application, I have to perform a zero resolve command, which will cause those additional dependencies to be resolved by Kix Dynamic Scripting and added to the resolved dependencies for the application. This command can take a few seconds to complete. So we're just waiting for that to complete now. So the resolve command was successful. And now, if I restart the application, this is also necessary, because at the moment, although they've been resolved within the application, the relevant dependencies will not be installed on the class path of the application. That only happens on a zero start. So I need to recycle my application, which is equivalent to stopping and then restarting the application. This command again takes some seconds, and you'll notice that the administrative commands, the administrative zero commands, do take some time to complete. This is not normally a concern in Qix dynamic scripting because the administrative commands are relatively rare events, and the performance significant aspects of the environment are those for the actual running applications itself. So at this point, now that I've recycled, the additional function is now available to my application. So if I go back to my application and I go back to the welcome page, you should notice, or you may notice, that the welcome page has changed. You may not remember what the original welcome page looked like, but it did not have these additional links at the bottom, including the virtual directory browser. This is because this welcome page is now being taken from the Zero Core Web Tools module instead of the default module for Qix Dynamic Scripting. If I click on the virtual directory browser for the application now, you'll see that it provides a new view of the same directory structure forming the application, with the exception that this contains a lot more directories and a lot more files and a lot more content than the actual application, which is present on my file system. So, for example, the public directory here contains my hello.groovy file, which comes from my WSTE demo application. It also contains an index template file, which is drawn from Zero Core Web Tools, and so on. Many of the other files, which are now logically part of my module, part of my application, are visible here, whereas they weren't before. Okay, now I can show you something about the global context. So if I go back to my Eclipse environment, I've got another script saved away here, globalcontext.groovy, which if I copy it into the public directory of my actual application, this was previously created. I'll just open it so that you can see roughly what's going on. I'll need to refresh my environment, actually. There we are. You can see that this is performing some gets from different zones, performing zget from different zones within the global context. A counter is stored in each. It's incremented and then written out as part of a very, very simple web page. So if I now access this script from a browser, you'll see that the counters are visible. I'll just reload this page a few times so that you can see that the different zones behave somewhat differently. So, for example, the request zone only ever achieves a count of one because it's being reset for each request. The other zones are each being incremented, and they have different lifetimes. At the moment here, they all seem to be incremented together. But for example, if a new user were to log in, they would see the user zone count return to one. And if I were to recycle the application, the temp zone would return to one. So, Joseph, I've run out of time, both on my demonstration and on the presentation. There's a certain amount of additional material, most of which can, in fact, be regarded as reference material, and I think will make good sense to anybody reading it, which can be done at a subsequent time. So I'll have to leave it to the attendees to look at that material in their own time. So would you like to take control back from me in the presentation, please?
At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
And I have no questions.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation.